Are you guys awake? No? Some of you guys, maybe? Some of you guys haven't had your coffee. Maybe you guys want to... I see Daniel wants to grab his pillow and just snuggle up and go to bed, right? Right? Yeah. But today, we're going to talk about something that is really important. One of my favorite things to talk about. And that's leadership. And as the student leaders will know... Every other week we talk about leadership. What does it mean to be a leader? What is it? What is true leadership? And I want to ask you guys real quickly. Student leaders, hold off because you already know the answer. And I know this would be cheating if you guys just jumped in there. But what is leadership? What does it mean to be a leader? Yes. Set an example for other people. Ethan, she stole yours. Got it. Anyone else? Yeah. You do stuff and other people want to follow you. Got it. Okay? So what you're saying is that there's leaders and that there's followers, right? Cool. Okay. I read this blog the other day. And it's talking about the top five attributes of leadership. Here we go. You ready? Number one, you have to know yourself. Know yourself. You have to know that your name, what your name is, hopefully. Hopefully you all know your name. That's like first grade. I know my name. No, that's preschool, isn't it? Whatever. Anyway, you know who you are. You know your strengths, your weaknesses, you know your capabilities, your limitations. You know when you're able to keep going and when you're able to cut back and fall asleep and you have to grab your pillow and go to sleep, right? You know your strengths. You know your weaknesses. You know yourself well enough to lead others. So know yourself. The second is self-direction. You know how to get things done. You know how to do things. Like Ethan was saying, you have a goal and you have other people following you. You know how to make quick decisions and get things done. Number three, you have a vision. And I know some of you guys are visionaries right now, and you vision your bed and your comfy pillow and your comfy mattress and your comfy blankets. It's so nice. But that's not what I'm talking about. You have a vision for where you want to go. You have a vision of, you know what? I'm a freshman in high school, and I want to get to graduation, so I'm going to do what it takes to get there. I'm going to lead the way. You have the ability to motivate. Ethan hinted on this one too. You're able to draw people to yourself. You're able to get people to do things. You understand, like, you cause them to want to help them. You have a social awareness. You understand who you're working with. You understand the people that are close to you. You know who they are. You know their limitations, their capabilities, their strengths, their weaknesses. But that was all five. Know yourself, self-direction, vision, ability to motivate, and social awareness. But I think there's one that's missing. And I think that's really what we're going to be talking about in this passage. Who has their Bible? Go grab a Bible. We're going to talk about this thing called servant leadership. Servant leadership. Now, as you're grabbing a Bible, you might be saying, servant leadership? That sounds really weird. That sounds so odd to us, because that's like comparing, that's like saying, if you want to be good at one thing, you have to know what it is to be the opposite. For example, if you want to be a good apple, you need to know what it takes to be a what?
Orange.
Orange, thank you. If you want to be a good tall person, you have to know what it's like to be
short.
If you want to stay up late and stay awake, you have to know what it's like to be a pillow. Not really, but yes. get to know what it's like to be asleep. If you want to be a good Giants fan, you need to know what it's like to be a good Dodgers fan. That's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to show you guys. No, not really. Jesus says, if you want to be a good leader, you have to be a servant. If you want to be a good leader, you need to be a servant. And as a follower of Christ, we're called to be servants. So I want you to turn your Bibles to John. Remember, we're reading through John. We're on the 13th chapter, which means we've gone over the hump. We're almost toward the end. We have about 8 more chapters, and that means about 16 more weeks in John. Not really. But turn to John chapter 13. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 30. Now we got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, 32. Okay, so we're going to go around and please read one verse. And when we get done, we get done. But we're going to go starting with Marley and going this way. After Bree, we're going to jump back here, this way, to Ethan, back up here, and then all the way around until we're done. Make sense? One verse a pop. Ready. John 13.
It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love.
During supper, when the devil had already put it unto the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him,
Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and he wrapped them with a towel that was wrapped around him.
He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?"
Jesus answered, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand."
Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me."
Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to be washed, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you."
For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean."
When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and moved into his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?"
"You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am.
If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet."
"For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done for you."
"Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him.
If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them."
"I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he."
"Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me."
After saying these things, Jesus was troubled and in his spirit and testified,
"Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke.
One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' feet.
So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. 25.
So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?"
His answer is, "He whom I will give some morsel of bread when I dip it." So Judas, son of Simon Iscariot.
Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly."
No one at the table knew why he said this to him.
Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give them.
So, after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out. And it was
good. Awesome. So we get this picture of Jesus in the very beginning of this passage. This picture of Jesus who says, you know, if I, being master and teacher, am doing these things, you should go and do likewise. Now, I kind of want to look at a little bit. Jesus calls us to be servants. Jesus calls us to humble ourselves and be a servant to others. Let's take a look a little bit about how Jesus did it himself. How was he a servant? How do we look at this passage and see how Jesus was a servant? Well, if we look at this, we see that Jesus was a servant to us, first and foremost. In when he comes down, he takes off his outer robe, and he takes the form of a servant. Back in the day, feet washing was the worst thing you could possibly do. It was meant for the servants. It was meant for the lowest of the low. Now, if we think of feet washing, the worst part about it is either stinky feet or something worse, like athlete's foot or something, right? It's nasty. To us, it's really gross. But back in the day, I mean, imagine this. One, there's no paved roads, so there's dirt everywhere. Two, the rich had sandals. Good sandals. And if you had sandals, you still were walking around in dirt. So you're walking around, your feet are cracked, a lot of them are bleeding. Like if you stub your toe, it really does damage. And then to wash your feet is to take all that dirt, the blood, the nastiness that cakes on your feet after just a day of walking. And Jesus came down, took the form of a servant. He took off his clothes, he wrapped a towel around himself, and he washed their feet. I've had some pretty bad jobs in my life. And it's nothing like anything boring like stuffing pillows or anything, but I know that's a weird analogy, isn't it? But the worst job that I've ever had was I was a dishwasher at a restaurant. And I know that doesn't sound terrible, but how do you guys like washing dishes? Anyone like washing dishes? I mean, I know we have dishwashers now, but back in the day, you have to wash dishes, right? We don't have a dishwasher at our house, so we have to sit down and wash dishes. I'm the dishwasher at our house, by the way. But it was worse at the restaurant because everyone leaves nastiness on their plate. And then what's worse was I wasn't just the dishwasher, I was the janitor. And our restaurant was not in the best part of town. So we'd have people come in and use the bathroom, many of whom were drunk, were homeless, were not in a good part of their life. And they would just use our bathroom, and I think they intentionally missed many times. And the worst was when they did number two and missed the toilet somehow. I don't know how, but they missed. And I had to clean that up because I'm the lowest guy on the totem pole. It was awful. But that's not the worst job you ever could have. I mean, how many of you guys have ever seen Dirty Jobs? Right? With Mike Rowe, I think his name is. this guy goes in and sees some of the worst jobs ever. I mean, people who crawl through the sewer. That's their job. They have to work through in that. Or people who work with cows and... I don't know. I just don't know how people do these jobs. But Jesus, who was God, took the form of a servant and did the dirtiest job he could do as a servant and washed their feet. Isn't this kind of symbolic a little bit? I mean, we read... Will someone turn to Philippians 2? Philippians chapter 2. Yeah. And read verses 5 through 11 for me, please. Yeah, read it.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross.
Let's stop there. Does that sound familiar? Philippians 2. Jesus, who was God, took the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, in the story that we read, Jesus was sitting at the table and he stepped down from his seat, became like a servant, and washed the disciples' feet. Will you finish that passage in Philippians?
Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God.
Perfect. Thank you. Jesus became a servant, became obedient to death, and then went back up to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Like in the story we read, he came down, washed their feet, and then sat back up, put his clothes back on, and sat back at his place at the table. This is a picture of what he did for us. This is a picture of who he was, in that he came to die for you and for me. Isn't that kind of chilling when you hear Jesus say a couple verses later, do you realize what I have done for you? I mean, it's a picture of what he's about to do. It's a picture of that, the fact that he's going to die for them, for you, for me. Jesus became the ultimate servant. But also, he did it for them, for you, for me, even though he knew we would betray him. I mean, think about his disciples, right? There were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help them: Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. There's so many. I don't remember. I learned this song a long time ago. I'm really sorry for singing real quickly, but that's how I have to go through the disciples. But anyway, think of the disciples that were among him. One, Judas. Now, what did Judas do? He betrayed him. How did he betray him? Do you remember? Where he's going? How much did he sell him for? 30 pieces of silver?
Gold. Silver.
Yeah, 30 pieces of silver. Judas betrayed him. But he still washed his feet. Who else was among them? Peter! What did Peter do? He denied him. How many times?
Three.
Did you know Peter got so mad that he cursed? that he swore at them that he didn't know Jesus? He got so adamant that he didn't know Jesus that he's like, you know what? I bleeping don't know Jesus. He was that adamant. He denied him that much. Yet, Jesus washed his feet. What about the other disciples? What's that? Okay. They all ran. Every single one of them ran away. Yet, he washed their feet. Get this picture of how much Jesus loved them, how much Jesus cares for his disciples. When we think about you, we think about me, we think about what we do on a daily basis, Jesus still washes our feet. Jesus still served us. Jesus still died for you. Can someone turn to the book of Romans chapter 5? Book of Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, please.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
For God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A little later in the book of Romans, he equates being a sinner with being an enemy of God. If you're not on God's team, or if you're not all for God, you're not on God's team. If you're not washed, you're not on God's team. And when we didn't know him, we were an enemy of God. And as sinners, as we all know, when we're born a sinner, and we have to know Christ. We have to get to know Christ. We have to pursue him and follow Jesus. And while we were his enemy, he died for us. Why do you guys die for your enemy? You know, upon reading this passage, I was thinking about the richest men in the world. Mark Zuckerberg. You guys know who Mark Zuckerberg is? He's the guy who owns Facebook. Local, you know, he lives just up the street somewhere. I don't know where exactly. I don't really stalk Mark Zuckerberg. But I looked it up. And this man who started Facebook is worth $29 billion. Billion, yes. Yeah, his annual salary is only a dollar so that Facebook can make a profit. And a lot of people do that. That's very true. Thank you. He's not even the most. Bill Gates. Bill Gates has been up there for a long time. He's worth... Yeah, Bill Gates owns Microsoft, by the way, in case you didn't know. $67 billion. And he takes number two. What's that? Oprah's not there. I didn't even know who this guy is, so it's not worth guessing. But this guy is Carlos Slim Helu. He owns he owns a lot of Mexican stores, a lot of Mexican phone companies. You're right. He is worth $73 billion. I can't even fathom that amount of money. And now it's like, this example is like one of these guys throwing a party for people who don't really care. Or Undercover Boss. How many of you guys have seen Undercover Boss? It all makes us cry a little bit. You know, we tear up at the very end. My dad definitely tears up. That's one. I'm sorry, Dad, if you're listening. But Undercover Boss, these big CEOs will change their appearance and go down to the lower levels of the company and work with them and be with them and get to know them. And it's not until the very end that they're like, hey, guess what? I'm the CEO. Like, they have no clue. Sometimes they find out. It's true. But most of the time, they're just like, oh, who's this guy? This guy sucks at working. This guy's not good. But he goes down and works with them and sees what's like with them and serves them. Jesus did that for us. That while we were still sinners, he took everything away. He became like a servant and died for us. So Jesus was the ultimate servant. He did it for us. He humbled himself. And he did it even though he knew we would betray him. But he says one thing. He says, even though you call me master, you call me teacher, now you go do the same. Does that mean we should go out and wash everyone's feet? I know it's gross, right? You don't want to see my feet. My feet are nasty. My feet are weird. I have feet like this. If you don't know, these two toes are webbed. It's weird. I don't want you to touch those. No. It doesn't mean that we go out and wash everyone's feet. Though it's a good practice, it's not what Jesus is calling us to do. It means to serve one another. How many of us is that's the first thing we think about? Well, today I'm going to go serve others. I'm going to go out and lower myself so that I can help others. Today, you know what? I know there's people who don't have pillows, and I'm going to give them my pillow. Leading by example. We heard that earlier. It's going out and being who you need to be. Being Jesus to others. How can we do that this week? How can we go out this week, go to our schools, and love others more than we love ourselves? That's what I want to challenge you today. How can you go out this week and love others more than you love yourself? Philippians 2. I'm going to end this and we're going to pray and be gone. Or go to small groups for a little bit. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4. This is right before that last passage. Therefore, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who in the very form of God considered equality with God nothing to be grasped, but made himself a servant and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. This is what it says. Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he says this. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Jesus humbled himself for you. He humbled himself even though he knew you would betray him. And he calls you to humble yourself. You willing to do that this week? You're willing to do that for the rest of your life? Can you do that? Let's pray. God, it's not the first thing that we think about to go out and humble ourselves. So many of us want to be the best, the greatest, the one with the most pillows. But God, I thank you so much that you've called us to this task. And I thank you that we can't do it without you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember that you were the first one to do it. You were the first one to humble yourself, and we should do likewise. Help us to follow your example, God.